from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is hour number two here of Sports Daily. We are glad to be with you. It is a great Monday if you're a fan of the teams around here, because they had a great weekend. That certainly makes it better. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester here alongside you. We're talking about the Chiefs and their wide receiver roster decision, because we're done. We're through with the meaningful. And maybe, who knows, this may be the thing to watch. It probably is the thing to watch and listen for in this final preseason game, Tommy. It's Thursday, by the way. Well, how does this shape out? There may be roster spots on the line for the wide receivers. But it is Kadarius Toney is the reason we're talking about this. And is he worth the trouble of keeping him on the roster? He has had a lot of highlights in his Chiefs career. He's had a lot of lowlights in his Chiefs career. And this offseason, it has been more lowlights. He hasn't been on the field. He hasn't been good when the little bit of time he has been on the field. So it creates an interesting situation. I mean, I guess you start with how many are they going to keep? 6, 7? What do we think?
I think you got to keep 7. I mean, that's what they did last year. I think that there's enough depth there with just the sheer number of wide receivers that they've got, that keeping 7 is probably the realistic number.
So you think 7. So if we say 7, then what are the 7 then? What are your 7? If it's not going to be Toney, who are your 7?
Yeah, so it's going to be Hollywood Brown, obviously. It's going to be Rashee Rice, obviously. Xavier Worthy, obviously. Those are the 3 like locks for sure. Justin Watson is a lock just because of his trust that he has with Patrick Mahomes. Mecole Hardman, for what he can do in the return game and special teams, I think is a lock. That's 5. There's enough upside with Justin Ross right now that I think that the Chiefs really like him, and he'll probably make the active roster. That's 6, and then I would go Sky Moore at 7.
Justin Ross didn't do anything in the game Saturday. I don't know. I think, all right, so I'm with you on, obviously, Worthy, Rice, Watson, Hollywood as the 4 main dudes.
Hardman is going to be
a lock. Hardman is going to make the roster at 5. If they keep six, I mean, Cornell Powell has caught some big play, you know, some long passes.
He's probably a good practice squad kind of guy.
Nico Remigio.
I like Remigio a lot.
He's been the Justin Ross of this year. I just, especially if I'm getting to, seven, it's because I'm going to let Tony have a spot. If I'm going to six, it really does come to which guy do you cut bait with, Sky Moore or Kadarius Tony? And I have been a Sky, but Sky Moore has done nothing also.
Right, but it goes back to what we talked about last hour. Sky Moore's not doing anything, but at least he's not hurting you when he's on the field.
He has, though, in the time he's played
real meaningful football, he has. But Kadarius Toney, in the here and now, also is actively hurting the team. You know, he didn't play any snaps at all in the first preseason game. And I remember thinking, like, well, I mean, shoot, he's probably injured, and I know that he's had some injury issues in training camp. He always has injury issues. But I'm like, at least he's not on the field hurting you. Then he gets on the field for the very first time, and he has two penalties simultaneously. And then he catches one pass for negative 4 yards. That's his stat line in the preseason game. And, you know, at least Sky Moore isn't, you know, doing things to actively harm the team when he's on the field. So I'm going to say I would rather keep Sky Moore, who is a, you know, probably right now a net zero. Like, he's not contributing positively or negatively either way. Like, I'd rather keep him than Kadarius Toney. And I know that you said if you're going to keep seven, that would be if they're going to try to find a spot for Kadarius Toney. I disagree with that. If you're going to keep seven and you don't have Kadarius Toney, and if you decide that Justin Ross maybe isn't going to be somebody that is, you know, legitimately a regular season type player, then Remigio has had some really good moments in the preseason. Cornell Powell has as well. I'd rather either one of those guys have a roster spot over Kadarius Toney. Why would you take the seventh wide receiver spot for a guy who's dropping passes, getting penalties, continuously disappointing and letting down your team?
Because they're not going to use him that way. This is where I get stuck.
Then just keep six. Then don't even have a seventh wide receiver.
Right. That's what position. I mean. That is the if I'm keeping seven, it has to be Toney. And it's
even if they
Rick's
were keeping
point.
Eight, I wouldn't keep Kadarius Toney.
I know you've made your stance on it clear. I think the reason that it's even in may not be in consideration when the time comes, but it's to Rick's point because of those glimpses we've had at a true playmaker. And don't take my word for that, by the way. Take Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce's word for that. The dude is a game breaker. It's in there. Now, it's not been there as often as it has. I mean, it's not been there more often than it has been. That's the challenge here, but it's in there. They defended him more than they would defend normal players. They put up with it because it's in there. I think the question for the Chiefs becomes not so much at wide receiver because they don't need him. It doesn't matter if whoever their sixth wide receiver is completely irrelevant. Doesn't matter, right? It's a non-factor. That player on the roster is probably, unless bad things happen, not seeing the field. So then it's more about is it more valuable? And I'm not. This is hypothetical for me. Is it more valuable to carry an extra offensive lineman? Is it more valuable maybe to carry Carson Steele if that's a decision that needs to be made? Is it more valuable to carry an extra running back? That's, I think, the bigger question. I don't think it matters because if you're asking me who has a more valuable spot to the wide receiver room, if you're telling me Sky Moore is not going to do anything and that's why you like him because he's not going to do anything, then if the player's not going to do anything, then I would probably lean to the player that if they get right can do something incredible.
He's not going to get right. We're going on year number three, and I know they brought him in midway through the season 2 years ago, so it's not a full.
But you're acting like he didn't contribute anything in year number one when he absolutely did.
Good. I'm glad that he did. I'm glad that he caught a touchdown pass. I'm glad that he had a punt return in the Super Bowl against the Eagles. I'm glad that he did all of that, okay? I think that it's okay to appreciate the contributions and say, thank you for what you did. Thank you for, you know, the crucial moments that you had. I think you can even retrospectively sort of put out the mistakes in the back of your head. I think you don't have to really like include that. I think you can just pat him on the back, say, thank you for what you did. We're going to go a different direction. That's okay. Sure, it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, of course it's okay. I don't mean that. I just mean I don't want to forget about the upside when I'm thinking about the sixth.
But I think that upside, I think that that's all we've heard about Kadarius Toney basically his entire career. That's why he was drafted in the first round.
But it's all about
the upside. It's all about the upside. And he literally has never shown that he can play.
Yes, he has.
Not consistently, not at a point to where you're like, hey, I feel good about this guy performing at his. That's great. But like, I would rather have somebody who consistently, you know what you're going to get from them, than a player like Kadarius Toney when, yeah, he might catch a touchdown pass in a Super Bowl to win the game, and that's great. But he's probably also going to screw you up.
But what are
Keep
you
in mind
from
the
Sky
offsides
Moore?
Against you know him when Travis Kelce had that catch last season. Like you just, and I'm not going to sit there and say, well, you can take the good with the bad with Kadarius Toney, and that's okay. No, it's not okay at this point. He's taking up a roster spot. Move him out and get somebody else in there.
But Sky Moore shouldn't be that. Sky Moore hasn't ever even shown you the upside.
He's never shown you the downside, and nothing else. Like I've never said that I think Sky Moore is this incredible player. You've been more on the bandwagon of Sky Moore over the years.
Yeah, and he hasn't even given
you the upside. What I'm talking about is just comparing the two of them. I'm not talking about overall, like what the ceiling is for Sky Moore in his career. I'm talking about if you've got one roster spot left when it comes down to roster cuts and it's between Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney, I'm going to cut Kadarius Toney because Kadarius Toney is actively harming the team.
Yeah, again, this is where it gets, and I'm not advocating for keeping Kadarius Toney. I'm just trying to understand or gain perspective on the decision the Chiefs are going to make. I think for a lot of teams, the downside is more dangerous than it probably is for the Chiefs. Last year, it was dangerous because they were trying to get those guys to be meaningful contributors. Neither of them could. But they're going to be enamored with Andy Reid is, with the gadget nature. I just don't know if they need to have that in the tank. I think they're going to be dynamic enough without it, where they maybe have not been the last couple of years. So is it even worth the trouble, I think, becomes the question. It's not going to hurt him because he's not going to play.
But he will.
Unless they have a gadget.
Rick just commented on our video stream again. He makes a good point. They're going to be important on special teams. When you've got receivers that are that far down on the depth chart, yeah, they might not get meaningful offensive snaps, but they might very well play or could very well play on special teams. And
that's not an endorsement for Sky Moore.
That's not an endorsement on Kadarius Toney either.
No, I know. I don't know who that's an endorsement for at the wide receiver position specifically, because they're going to keep six, right? They're going to keep six, and we know who the first five will be. And then it becomes and Justin Ross didn't do anything in that game, but he has by all accounts had a fine camp. But you know, that's kind of the same thing. Like if at some point you got to contribute something, I don't know if they do need to contribute anything. And maybe it does come down to as simple as, hey, who's going to help you the most making a tackle on a kickoff, right? Like maybe that's the deciding factor. There are a lot of things that go into it. My curiosity comes if the Chiefs are just still, they want to have whatever that gadget play is for Toney. And remember that the Kelce play wasn't designed as I thought it was when we saw it. It was totally ad-libbed, right? And so it's not like they drew that up for Toney. He just happened to be the guy that was standing there. My gut says they don't keep Toney. I think that they'll cut him, but I'm curious about it. And who becomes the sixth guy? And then if it's seven, I think he stays. I think if they keep seven, he'll be one of them. If they keep six, I don't think he will be.
Guarantee, if they keep seven, he will not be one of them. I believe that. I believe that to my core. And simply because...
Guarantee is a little strong.
Well, I'm real willing to guarantee it. Like, we can make a bet right now if you want to. If they carry seven, Kadarius Toney will not be one of them. I don't see that happening. And it not only comes back to what happened over the weekend. Have we heard any other receivers, Sky Moore included, get called out by his head coach and his offensive coordinator in training camp? It's the most vocal that we've heard Matt Nagy and Andy Reid when it comes to Kadarius Toney, talking about his availability, talking about his consistency, talking about all of that.
Yeah.
And that all happened, don't forget, last week during the final week of training camp, Kadarius Toney had an opportunity to silence that in the game on Saturday, and he absolutely did not do that.
Correct.
So I think
my gut says he's cut. I don't think they're keeping seven.
They could keep. I think they will keep seven, and I don't think he'll be one of them.
So who do you keep? That you
I've
keep
already
Sky
told.
Moore?
I mean, I've already yes, Sky Moore, Justin Ross. I've gone through my entire
you've gone
seven.
Ross. Yeah. I didn't know you made Ross.
Yeah,
the seven.
Justin Ross and Sky Moore. I think are my.
It doesn't matter. If they keep seven, we're never going to hear about the seventh receiver. If you're going, and I got to see the totality there. I'm more concerned that you'd have another lineman or you find a spot for Carson Steele than keep a seventh receiver that provides you nothing. I would imagine Carson Steele could make a tackle on a kickoff if you need him to. I'd be more confident in that than, especially in the new format, than I would Justin Ross. Maybe Ross has done enough that they think he can contribute. It's just, again, the bottom line for this conversation is this decision is a strength for the Chiefs, right? Because it doesn't matter what they do there. They're deep enough at the top and they're designed enough. As long as Hollywood Brown is short term, then Watson backs everybody up, basically. Hardman plays his defined role and you just move on with your life. It's what happens if, you know, somebody misses, if two guys are out at once, and that is, it's not crazy because it'll probably happen. That other guy then, okay, now you've got to play reps here. Because I don't think they'll put Hardman in that role. Who's the other guy that plays consistent reps? And maybe that helps them decide that. And in that scenario, yeah, Justin Ross would make sense. But it's kind of been Remigio who's, to me, been a little bit more consistent. Whatever. Good problems to have when you're talking about who's going to be the sixth or seventh receiver for the Chiefs. I think that's pretty much it, though, out of that game. I don't know what else other people were looking for. I was looking for an evaluation of left tackle. I was looking for no injuries. And that's really what I wanted to come out of the game. So we got both of those things. Anything else that is of relevance in these games? Because it's done now. Like we're through it. They'll just start game prepping for the Ravens. But I think that's it for me.
Yeah, I think the only other thing that I take a look at, and I've seen some people that have commented on this over the course of the weekend, I think that there's a little bit of concern about Felix Anudike Uzomah. And not really being an impact player through the preseason. And really, this was going to need to be the year that he took that step forward, you know, to kind of be that guy that the Chiefs envisioned him to be. You know, and I'll be completely honest, I didn't really get a chance to get in and like go snap by snap and watch him when he was on the field and things that were concerning. But from other people, from what I've seen, you know, that there's been some talk about his inability to defend the run, where he's able to get, you know, pass rush a little bit better. That's always been kind of his game anyway. But that I think is a little bit concerning because when he was on, it sounded like he was mainly against reserves for Detroit and kind of struggled with them also. So I don't exactly know what that looks like and how that pans out for this season. But I mean, the Chiefs are expecting him, you know, to be an impact player at that position.
It was a risky pick. They admitted that. They were in a position to take a risky pick there. They need him, though. They need somebody to provide pass. Because if their pass rush doesn't get better and you lost Snead, that could be a problem early in the season. This is why I don't think their defense is going to be better than it was a year ago. I would disagree with Mitch on that. And we'll talk to Dan Israel about this tomorrow. Dan starts his conversations with us weekly tomorrow. As far as the, you know, the Chiefs radio network. But I just don't see a world where they're better because, A, you're losing one of the top, you know, multi-talented corners in the league, and you're relying on a largely unproven player to provide pass rush to help you there. Now, they could end up on par with where they were last year. I certainly don't think they're coming out of the gates that way. They better stop the run because that's what the Ravens are going to do. They got Derrick Henry now and Lamar Jackson. They're about to pound the rock in this game and then maybe take their shot. So that's a curiosity, not just from the preseason, but I think for this season as a whole, we've all wondered that. Are they going to be able to get enough pass rush to, you know, in Chris Jones and George Karlaftis? Probably. I would say there's a really good chance Karlaftis is better, which is dangerous for the rest of the league. Plus Jones may be enough. But yeah, you can't have a nothing burger over on the other side. So we'll see I didn't even see who got the start because we were at the charity event. I don't even know who's starting, technically speaking, on the other side of the defensive line right now. and I don't even know who else. They'll be okay. I mean, they'll be okay out of the gates. I don't think the Ravens are the game where you're quite as concerned about that pass rush as you will be in some of the other games that they play.
Yeah, and just real quick, the other thing, too, about Felix Anudike Uzama, where it's going to be even that much more critical for him at least to start the season off well. You know, Charles Aminihue is still out working through his injury and getting back to game speed. And Aminihue, I think, showed some really, really positive flashes last season for the Chiefs. And so, you know, until he gets back, they're really going to be relying that much more on FAU.
It's now or never. I mean, he's going to get thrown to the fire. We'll find out pretty quick. If you can't rush the passer, they'll put a run stopper out there, I think, and just hope that Karloftis and Chris Jones can create the pressure. And it's Spags. He's going to blitz like crazy and find different and wacky things to do. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Let's look around the rest of the NFL. What other storylines from week two of the preseason caught our attention? We'll get into that a little bit as we make our way through this second hour. I think there's always interesting stories out there in that. So we'll hit that next, then we'll get you ready for the Royals game one of a series with the Angels. That's coming up tonight. 869-1240 is that IHOP hotline brought to you by IHOP, where you can get all you can eat pancakes through September 15th. Jad will take your calls there. We'll return right after this. Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster, getting ready for an exciting fall. We're going to make some football picks on Fridays. We think starting next week, we're going to bring our pals from 12 News, Brandon Zenner, TJ Cleland, in to help make those picks. Paul Savage will be back, so those will be fun segments. We've got all our, you know, our cast of characters here on the show starting to get back into the groove. We'll have our weekly Chiefs visits with Dan Israel. I need to connect with Wyatt Thompson as we get ready for the K-State football season as well. Tim Fitzgerald will join us. So we'll get all of that coming for you this year. We're really looking forward to it here on Sports Daily. All kinds of good stuff. We'll get you a KU segment weekly as well. So stay tuned for that. Tommy, the rest of the NFL preseason this weekend. From a bird's eye, I'm just watching the rookie quarterbacks. I don't take a whole lot away from the preseason. It's just hold your breath, hope nobody gets hurt, and then watch the rookies. I don't know how you feel about it. I honestly, like, has there been one of the rookie quarterbacks that you've been like, ooh, good. As Bo Nix has another nice performance last night. Drake May has shown you something. Caleb Williams has looked good to, you know, find a good. Jaden Daniels has probably been the one that's garnered the most attention. And I did, the one quarterback I didn't really check in on this weekend was Michael Penix.
Well, he didn't play. He didn't play for the Falcons.
Right. And that's what I mean. We didn't check on him, but we don't expect anything out of him anyway. And then JJ McCarthy's hurt. So long term, I think there's a decent chance these guys are all good. I really do. Drake May is the one that I'm like, I have no idea about, but the rest of them, you could see a path to relevancy in the NFL. And I think even more than relevancy, I could see a path for at least three of them being really good Pro Bowl caliber players with Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and JJ McCarthy at some point.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, Bo Nix was the kind of the pleasant surprise over this weekend, what he was able to do for the Broncos. Drake May will be the starter in week one. I mean, I'll just book that right now because Jacoby Brissett is not showing you anything for the Patriots. And so I do think that, you know, Jerod Mayo and the Patriots staff, I think they're going to be willing to take the risk and see the upside of Drake May and start him in week one, just because I'm sure they don't feel confident in what Brissett has done this preseason for them. As far as Michael Penix, what's interesting about him is that, you know, of course, the plan has not been really for him to play this season because Kirk Cousins is there. But Cousins was ruled out of the preseason, I mean, well ahead of time. Like, he wasn't going to play at all during the preseason. So then it's like, okay, Michael Penix, give him some reps, show what he can do in the preseason because he probably isn't going to play in the regular season. They didn't play him in week two. They did in week one. Raheem Morris said that he showed them enough in week one. They didn't need to see anything else in week number two. So that was curious. That was a curious decision as to why they did not play Michael Penix in the preseason game over the weekend. But yeah, I mean, Jaden Daniels showed you that he can, you know, do what he does. Caleb Williams also, like, I think that the rookie quarterbacks obviously are all showing you why they were drafted where they were at.
I hope it does. I've said it a million times. I hope they're all great. Caleb Williams is in such a good position. I have heard people talk about what they're seeing out of his game. What people are loving about what they're seeing about Caleb Williams is he's showing what the flaw was most people saw in his game, and is that in the NFL, if you can't sit there and do what's designed, you're going to struggle, and he's doing that so far. Jaden Daniels, his stuff is more obvious. Like, he's a premier athlete. He makes big plays. To me, Tommy, when I think of him, I think of like a more polished version of what Anthony Richardson was last year. Anthony Richardson, I think there were a lot of questions. You know, he hadn't played a ton. We just didn't know. Jaden Daniels just feels like that. And Richardson's much larger, right? And he got hurt. And that's the risk with Daniels. I think if Daniels stays healthy, he's going to be good. He'll be really good. I think J.J. McCarthy's floor is very, very high. It's more about where is his ceiling. Bo Nix will certainly be better than what the Broncos have been running out there. A couple other interesting quarterback spots. Looks like we're going to have Gardner Minshew as the starter in Vegas. That's probably fine. It's really a non-starter. I don't know what to make of them this year. I think they could be okay. But there's not going to be any real threat or anything. But Minshew gets, you know, he's earned this opportunity, so I'm happy for him.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be okay. I mean, I think that when you're competing
Do you think they're going to be one of the bad teams?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be very good. I mean, because you've got your starting quarterback is either, I mean, I know it's going to be Minshew, but your other choice is Aiden O'Connell. They don't have Josh Jacobs anymore. He's gone. He's in Green Bay now.
Right.
They don't have Hunter Renfrow anymore. He's still a free agent. It's Gardner Minshew and Devontae Adams. That's your offense.
Well, they drafted. They're the ones who got Brock Bowers Michael Mayers. Sure. Michael Mayers is a good tight end, too.
I'm not expecting much from the Raiders this season. I think that, actually, from what I saw from Bo Nix yesterday in the preseason, I think the Broncos could very easily be better than the Raiders this year. In fact, I think the Raiders probably, if I were to guess right now, I think the Raiders are probably in the season last in the AFC West.
I don't know. I mean, the Broncos have a not good line. I mean, I like Javonte Williams, and he looks by all accounts healthy finally, but they really don't have much at receiver outside of Cortland Sutton either. They don't have a tight end. I think their defense is up.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I don't think Denver's going to be good, but I think Denver could be better than Vegas.
I would imagine that the Raiders are, you know, like a 7-win team. 8-win team. We'll see. But they made their decision. We know Darnold's going to be the starter. It's Pittsburgh where the big question lies. Russell Wilson or Justin Fields? Now, Russell Wilson was not as bad as his reputation in Denver, but he wasn't dynamic or anything. I don't know why they wouldn't just go with Justin Fields. Because when you're Pittsburgh, and I've wondered this not since we've seen the preseason, because Fields has done a pretty good job against, you know, backup defenses and all that. It's not just about that. I think it's interesting because they brought Wilson in to just be better than what they've had in the past, and he will be. But then they had this opportunity to go get Fields, and they did it. So sorry, Russell Wilson, but when I look at Justin Fields, I don't see a quarterback I'm ready to say. Yeah, he's not going to cut it in this league. I'm not ready to do that with Justin Fields. And I'm not a Justin Fields supporter, but what Justin Fields at least adds to the offense is big playability and game-breaking athleticism on the ground. And if you're Pittsburgh, a team that feels like they're really good everywhere else, which they are, why would you not go with the upside play there?
I thought about that motivation a lot from the perspective of the Steelers, and I think that some of it is they're intrigued by the possibility, and it hasn't happened to this point, don't get me wrong, but the possibility of Russell Wilson playing for his career, because I think that's where it's at right now. I think that Russell Wilson is in a position he's not going to get another chance after this. Like, unless he plays well for the Steelers, he's probably going to be done in the NFL. I don't see a lot of other teams taking chances on Wilson. And so I think that they're intrigued by potentially that desperation being motivation for Russell Wilson? Like, look, I'm playing for my job. I'm playing for my livelihood. And that might make him unlock something in his game. It hasn't to this point, and I'm not suggesting that it even will. But I've been trying to think about what's the motivation from the Steelers to throw Wilson out there as opposed to Justin Fields. And I think that that's probably a large part of it.
Listen, Russell Wilson was a significantly better passer than Justin Fields was last year. That's not even close, right? Like, if you just go look at what they did last year as a passer, Wilson was much, much better than Fields. But Fields is such a dynamic runner. That's what, like, Pittsburgh's goal is to win games, right? Like, Pittsburgh's not in an evaluation mode. Pittsburgh is really good literally everywhere else and thinks they can go win playoff games. And they probably can.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If either of these guys can be serviceable. So I guess you're coming down to it, and it's like, okay, well, you know, can Wilson just operate an offense and you know, get the ball to George Pickens and Pat Freiermuth? And they always have good receivers, and we know they're going to play good defense. And I believe that their line is considered an upgrade over what it has been. And can you just plug Russell Wilson in there to play that safe style of Steelers football? And you probably can. Justin Fields just adds that other wrinkle of like, okay, well, if we're flogging along offensively, which could happen with either quarterback, at least Fields could break one off for us, right? And we know Fields can get a talented receiver the ball like George Pickens, because he did that with DJ Moore in Chicago. So I think I would lean Fields. I don't think it's an indictment on Wilson, by the way, either. Wilson is never going to be what he once was. So why can't he just be there, right? Like, why Wilson can be a backup? Why can't he be a backup? That's probably what his skill set. He's probably, you know, if he's a backup, he's one of the better backups in football. Again, his passer rating last year, if you're just looking at that, was fine. I mean, his touchdown to interceptions was 3-1 almost. Well, I guess 2.5-1, we'll call it. He completed 66% of his passes, which is a little above league average. He had a quarterback rating just under 100, which, by the way, should. If you want any indicator that quarterback rating is not the ultimate end-all be-all, which I don't think people think it is, but some people might, his quarterback rating was higher than Patrick Mahomes last year, which, again, tells you that that's not that important of a stat. But it is a decent little baseline thing to look at. But game-breaking is where Russell Wilson ain't ever breaking a game anymore, I don't think. Justin Fields can do that. And if I'm Pittsburgh and I know I'm going to be good defensively and I know I'm going to run the crap out of the ball, which they are this year, no matter who their quarterback is, I just kind of like what Fields adds to the offense over Russell Wilson at this point.
Yeah, from a dynamic point of view, it clearly is Justin Fields. You know, you get the bad with the good when you throw Justin Fields out there. But honestly, that's the same thing that you get with Russell Wilson. A different kind of bad. Of course, their games are totally different. But you're going to get the bad with the good with Russell Wilson as well. Going back to your point about why can't Russell Wilson be a backup? I don't know. I mean, I think that part of the backup role you have, it's a different kind of job. It's a different kind of job than what Russell Wilson has ever done before. It doesn't mean that he doesn't have the skill set to be a quality backup in the NFL, but I don't know if he's got the mindset to be a backup in the NFL. I don't know if he's got the personality to be a backup in the NFL. That's going to be the question.
But who cares, right? He's not having that kind of an impact on a roster anymore anyway. You think those guys don't take Russell Wilson seriously, not as serious as they'd like them to. They're not going to do that even if he's the starter. Like, he's there to do a job now. His time in the league as that sort of presence is gone. That let's ride Broncos country, like, that was the end of that.
And you may be right about that. I don't know if he knows that. I don't know if he's come to terms with that.
He may not, but nobody cares, right? You walk in, if I was to tell you right now, Pittsburgh Steelers, who's the leader of that team?
Mike Tomlin is the leader of the team.
Unquestioned, yeah. Right? Not even a question. It's Mike Tomlin. And then if you go to that, it's TJ Watt. If you go after that, like Russell Wilson, if he thinks he was ever going to Pittsburgh to play that role, he's not. He is there to do his job. And it's not normal for the quarterback position, but it's always been that way post Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin leads that team. Mike Tomlin is the headline grabber of that team. It's not going to be Russell Wilson. It's not going to be Justin Fields, quite frankly. And so in an offense where they're going to run it, because they feel like they have two really good running backs and a better offensive line, I think it makes more sense to let Justin Fields be a part of that. But there's also a safety component. Russell Wilson's, he may not do a ton to help you. Like, he may not do a ton to break a game open, but he's also not going to hurt you. Like, he's still a good decision maker back there. He doesn't turn it over. He doesn't do those things. So their quarterback situation is probably the last one standing, right? At this point, that's the last one we don't really know about. And I think it's relevant because I do think if they're better at, I mean, they're a contender if they're better at quarterback than they have been. We always sleep on Pittsburgh. They're always there. Pickens is a stud. They have a good tight end. You know, whoever they took at young receiver is going to be good because they always are and they can play defense. And in a division that's going to be top to bottom, the best in football, I think again this year, I mean, the Ravens, I think, are clearly better than the Bengals at this point at, you know, on August 19th, better than the Bengals, the Browns or the Steelers. I don't think it's by much. And I think all of them have an opportunity to be playoff teams. I mean, it's the best top to bottom division in football to me, no question. And I'll take him over Cleveland right now. I will take Pittsburgh over Cleveland. Deshaun Watson stinks, and he's going to stink. So they've got an opportunity. I'm curious to see how they go with this. Do they take the risk and swing big with Fields, or do they play it safe with Wilson? I think their history says they'll play it safe. But I think we suck. Was that yesterday they played that game? That it was not, like, not close. And I know it was starters and backups, but Fields was significantly better than Russell Wilson was in the game. Russell Wilson didn't do anything bad. Russell Wilson was 8 of 10 for 47 yards. So maybe that's unfair. I guess I'm being unfair. But man, Fields ran for 42 yards. Tommy had a 20-yard run. Like, doesn't that sound more dangerous if you're the opposition in Pittsburgh, knowing what they do, to know Fields is back there at quarterback versus Russell Wilson?
I think so, because you it's hard to limit him. It's hard to limit his place on the field. And, you know, I think that you always hope that Fields is going to make a mistake, which he has. That's going to be, you know, part of what the defense has to try to do. But no, Fields opens opportunities up far more than I think Russell Wilson will be able to do for this team.
Russell Wilson's safer, though. He's a better version of what they've had as far as, you know, safety goes. All right. We're going to come back. We're going to go back to the Royals. We'll get you ready for this Angels series. We'll look at tonight's game specifically. Anyway, we might want to bet that game and look at the series as a whole as they finish up the last soft portion of the schedule for a while. That's next. Sports Daily, all Brockton Caster. Don't go away. welcome back, everybody. We got Royals baseball right here on KFH tonight, hosting the Angels. So it won't be that West Coast late game. When we look at it, Seth Lugo and Carson Fulmer tonight. Royals are too big a favorite to waste your time on the money line, Tommy. But if you give a run and a half, it's still minus 125. Like, at what point with those kinds of, like, run lines, do you give 2.5? Do you give 3.5 and hope for a blowout? Like, what, do you go crazy with it? It's kind of hard to mess with any of that on these kinds of series where you've got a good team and a bad team. I don't know what the appropriate or the, like, logical baseball way is to go for those. I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would go that far, you know, and try to, like, get 3.5 runs, you know, that have a big blowout like that. Although the Royals offensively have been able to do that over the last several games. But I don't mind the run line here. They're back at home. The bats have been hot. Lugo's on the mound. Now, Lugo hasn't been great. In fact, he was not good at all the last time that he pitched. So, you know, you obviously cross your fingers and hope that, you know, he's able to bounce back from the last outing against Minnesota. But I don't mind the run line here. I'm okay with that. You know, the over has absolutely become kind of an auto bet over the last week-ish or so. So I would continue to ride that as well. In fact, I don't know what the odds are. I don't have it in front of me. But if you were to parlay the run line and the over, I'm guessing you're getting fairly decent odds on both of those, combining them together. So those are a couple of things I would look at. And by the way, and I know we've got a few other things with the Royals to discuss, but we would be remiss. We didn't even mention this guy's name when we were talking about the Royals in hour one. That pretty good odds right there to do that. I'd be okay with that. But we didn't even mention Dairon Blanco's name in hour number one. And Blanco had a weekend of a lifetime for the Royals. I mean, he with Grand Slam and what did he have, 3 home runs over the weekend, had like 12 RBIs or something. I mean, it was absolutely incredible. And it's he's not been a name that we've called a lot over the course of the season. He had I think 5 RBIs going into this weekend and more than doubled his RBI count after the weekend. So, I would imagine that at least moving forward for the short term, you know, we'll probably continue to see him in lineups.
He had been a guy that was kind of relegated to being a pinch runner. And we wondered about his ability to be a leadoff hitter. It would be wild and outrageous and crazy because his sample size is so low, but he was getting on base early in the year. That's kind of, you know, but that's been a long time ago. So, yeah, hopefully, I mean, when you get hot hands like that, you just keep dealing them in, right? You just keep going to it. I don't know if I'd bet it, but yeah, hopefully Blanco. I like Blanco. He's an exciting player. The two things that I usually look at are how deep a starter can get into a game. Lugo, right now, you get plus money if he gets into the sixth inning. So if he goes 6 1/3 or more, you're at plus money there. I think that's always been pretty good with Lugo. With a stretch like this coming up with this, they may be inclined to let him go, but they also, the way that you can get these guys rested is not letting them go deep into a game. So I'm sort of on the fence there. Your auto bet might be the over. My auto bet is just to go Bobby Witt Jr. over 2 bases, 3 or more bases, which again, total bases are like a double is worth 2 bases. And he has just been so white hot that he hits this almost always. Like if you were just doing that in the second post All-Star break, you'd make a lot of money if you were just taking +2.5 over bases. So that would be the bet. The series as a whole, you know, the Angels, they're not gonna face bad starting pitching, at least in the first 2 games of this series. Fulmer, Anderson, veterans of this league, you know, they can navigate it. It's one of those things where, sort of like the Red series, you just need the offense to like not let up at any point. But if the Angels can at least do a little bit of that, and that's kind of about it, right? They just haven't been very good. They've just flat been really bad team this year. It's been a dreadful season for them. Mike Trout continues to be hurt. But I mean, are we saying sweep it again? I mean, at this point, why not continue this momentum, get a sweep here, see if you can gain a little more ground and move on with your life. Who's to say they can't sweep this series again? I mean, obviously 2 out of 3 is is sort of the baseline expectation, but the way they're going right now, I'd say sweep it.
Well, of course, because that momentum has absolutely flipped from where it was about a week ago. We were concerned, at least I was concerned, about where things stood for the Royals after the Twins series. And, you know, basically they had to scratch and claw to get one win to close out that series to at least salvage, winning one out of those three games against the Twins last week. And it looked like things were maybe starting to falter a little bit and getting concerned about not only the AL Central, but the wild card a little bit, because you had hot teams behind the Royals. And then everything just kind of gets flipped upside down with the weekend sweep with the Reds. They play another bad team in the Angels back at home, and you've got Lugo on the bump tonight. So yeah, I mean, I would say, at least for me, I'm looking for a sweep. I think the expectation should be that. And it would be different if it was like, okay, well, the pitching's been really good, we just need the bats to come alive. The last four games, if you count the finale against the Twins, it's been pretty complete for the most part. I mean, when you've got a 28-3 run differential in the last three games, that's telling you it is a pretty complete team right now. And on top of that, Cleveland is faltering a bit. And so that opportunity is right in front of you. I don't know if you're going to get a better opportunity in the next 3 weeks or so than to take advantage of this series right now.
Well, other than playing them head-to-head. Right.
Right.
So Cleveland's off tonight. But here's the other good news. Boston, they got to play in Houston, right? The Twins have to go to San Diego, and Seattle is in LA taking on the Dodgers. There will be potentially more ground to gain here as well. So that also emphasizes that cushion we talked about. You're going to want some cushion going into what comes after this series. And look, if they stay hot like this, maybe you don't need it, but I just would not count on that based on what we've seen over an entire season. They'll be good to go 500 in those games. So get some cushion now as you make your way through. We'll tell you more about that game again in just a minute and how you can hear that game. Appreciate everybody being here with us today. We're going to come in. Don't forget, Dan Israel joins us tomorrow, Chiefs fans. We're going to start those interviews with the guys right there at training camp every day, at practice every day, the Chiefs Radio Network. So that starts tomorrow. Here we go. Thanks for watching us. We're going to come back. We'll tell you what's on the network tonight here on KFH as we wrap up Monday on Sports Daily.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.